You know, we hear a lot today about technology, and there is so much technology breaking on the scene. And I've heard people say recently, because of all of the modern technology and computers and iPhones and iPads and all those sort of things, that books are going out. Or that the printed page is fading fast. And that may be true in some regard, but I can tell you one thing for sure, that the printed page of God's eternal word will always remain. It will. You see, Jesus, in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 35, said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. And when the Apostle Peter would write that early epistle to the church in the first century, he would offer these words of encouragement. He would say that the grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And David in Psalms 119 and verse 105 said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And Paul would charge Timothy with this admonition as well. He would say, until I come again, give attendance unto reading. And Jesus in the 5th chapter of the book of John in verse 39 said, to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Now, I said all that tonight to remind you of the importance of this book that I hold in my hand. It is called the Bible. The word Bible is from that Greek word biblios, which actually means the book. And there is no greater book than the Holy Scriptures. And the Bible, by the way, is still the number one seller in our country. It really is. The Bible, the book. Well, what does the Bible say about itself? I want to talk to you about another book that the Holy Scriptures really refer to, and is found in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And so if you'll open the book tonight to that passage, we're going to read about additional books. I wish I had time to have put all that on the PowerPoint up here where you could read it readily, but I hope that you can follow along. John the Apostle, the beloved Apostle, had been exiled to what we call or refer to as the Isle of Patmos in his latter days. And before John died in about AD 96, and he had written a number of books, the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He had written the Gospel of John, and now the book of Revelation. As he begins to unfold for us things that have happened, things that are happening, and events that are yet to come to pass. And one of the things that John writes about is the great white throne judgment. And he says in verse 11, and I saw the great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, now I want you to notice here, he uses the plurality here. He said, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now that's one we're going to talk about tonight. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, he says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, when we talk about the book of life, it's referred to actually as the Lamb's book of life, but it's referred to as the book of the living in the Old Testament, the book of life in the New Testament. The Bible talks freely about it in Philippians 4, verse 3, when Paul is writing this great epistle, he reminds the church at Philippi of the book of life. And he says, and I entreat thee also, true fellow yoke, he says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. The book of life is actually referred to 7 times in the book of Revelation. So if you just made a casual perusal of the book of Revelation, which a lot of people do because they say, I can't understand the book of Revelation, it's all mind-boggling to me. But if you were just to make that casual walk through the book of Revelation, you would find the expression, the book of life, written or mentioned 7 times. And God keeps a record of those names that are written there. In a moment, we're going to tell you how you get it there. But in Exodus 32, verse 32 and following, the Bible says, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," Moses says, "and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." In Psalm 69 and 28, David says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not to be written with those who are righteous." Hebrews 12 and verse 23, "To the general assembly of the church," Paul writes, "of the firstborn, which are written in heaven," listen to it, "and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." And then in Luke 10 and verse 20, I think one of the great interesting scenarios that take place here is a situation where Christ had empowered by Almighty God the disciples who were his immediate apostles to go out and proclaim the word. They could cast out demons and they could do miraculous works as well. Now, one of the things that really intrigued the apostles was the fact that they were able to cast out demonic spirits. And they came back to Jesus and they said to him, "Lord, you know what? Even the demonic spirits respond to the message that you have given unto us. We have been able to cast out demons." And Jesus makes this statement in the book of Luke 10 and verse 20. He says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not." He says that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, there really is no rejoicing tonight over any power that any of us may have, whether it be mystical or not. I don't believe that God empowers us like he did the apostles to work miraculous works in that sense, or to be able to cast out demonic spirits. But I do believe that God has given us a measure of his power that enables us to live honorably before him. Now, in this lesson tonight, I want us to talk about this book of life that we're alluding to here and how you get your name written in it. If the Bible here in the book of Revelation 20 says that God's going to, cast those whose names are not written in the book of life into the lake of fire, it's imperative and it certainly is extremely important that our name be written there. And then if it was written there, how can it be blotted out? Because he talks about that also. But how do we get our name written there? Well, I want us to first of all talk about things that do not put it there. You know, we have a lot of folks today that believe they have the answer to how to get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible says the dead are going to be judged by those things that are written in the books, but that other book that was opened was the Book of Life. I will tell you, first of all and foremost, that morality does not get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, there are a lot of people, mind you, that say, I know some really good folk, not Christians, but good folk. They don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't get drunk, they don't do drugs, and on we could go. And we say because they are good morally that their names have somehow mystically been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. God doesn't say that. However, the Bible gives us examples of people that were good morally speaking. Cornelius is a great example in the book of Acts chapter 11. He is a great man in one regard, in the sense that he had been praying to God, the God of the Jews. He had been offering up prayers and he'd been giving alms. And I mean, if anybody had a need out there, he didn't ask them if they were a brother Gentile or if they were a Jew. He was just giving money away to people that actually had need. And so you would say of someone, well, that's quite charitable. He's a great humanitarian. He's an individual that be worthy of praise. And yet this man was not in a saved relationship with God. His name had not been written in the book of life. For in Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, let me tell you another thing that will not get your name written in the book of life. Morality is one of them, and I'm certainly not trying to discount or delineate from what the Holy Scripture says about morality. It is important that we be good moral people. But secondly, you do not get your name written in the book of life by obeying the commandments of men. Now, for some reason or another, there are a lot of people that believe that everybody that is religious is worthy of following. And Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men," Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. And again, we don't get our name in the book of life by following the doctrines of men. Now, we have a lot of doctrines of men today. Let me just kind of throw a few at you there tonight. There are some who say, once you're saved, you're always saved. It's a doctrine of man, not a doctrine of God. There are some who say, well, one does not have to be fully immersed in water. He can just have water sprinkled on his head, and it's called baptism, but the Holy Scripture does not teach that. Why don't people get back to what the Bible actually says? If we really believe that this book, Biblios, is really the book that came from God, and if we really believe that it is authoritative, why would we not go back and just simply obey the Bible and quit listening to the doctrines of men? It will not get your name in heaven. By the way, let me tell you something. The Catholic Church, just yesterday, granted sainthood to Pope John and Pope John Paul. Now, I'm not saying that they were not good people. They obviously were moral, had, a great integrity and maybe sincerity. I don't know about all that, but I assume that. And so because of all that they had done, they were granted sainthood. Now, that's not really the way the Bible says that you become a saint. How many of you are saints tonight? The rest of you aren't. Believe it or not, if you have been baptized into Christ and you have accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you became a saint. And your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how it got there. You do not become a saint by a religious group voting on you. You don't become a saint in this church. By the way, that's why we never do this. And one of the doctrines of men today is the fact that if you wanted to be a part of our fellowship, we'd have to vote on you. That's what some religious groups do. Now, I have seen that happen before in my life. And so what I'm telling you tonight is genuinely true. They would take a show of hands to find out whether or not everybody was willing to accept a certain individual into their fellowship. Who am I to reject one that God accepts? I have no authority to do that. No church has the authority to do that. We must again follow the pattern of God. Let me tell you another thing that will not get your name written in the book of life, and that is by being conscientious. Some people say, well, if I'm sincere and I'm conscientious, then, you know, God ought to add my name to the Lamb's Book of Life. You may rationalize in your mind that to be true, but that doesn't make it true. Let me give you another example. The Apostle Paul was a great man. Prior to his conversion to Christ and becoming an obedient believer, the Bible tells us that he had a great conscience. He said, "I've lived before God in all good conscience unto this day when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ," Acts 23 and verse 1. And when he makes his defense before Agrippa, he acknowledges that unto him as well, the man who was a king. So just simply being conscientious doesn't get your name there. Number four, thinking that your name is there doesn't get it there. You know, people like to, I guess, think in their mind that their name's going to be written there. And sometimes we hypothesize about a lot of things. And we begin to think and rationalize the way that we live and how we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And because for some reason or another we think that's the way it ought to be, we kind of accept that. But that's not true at all. You see, Solomon said many years ago, Proverbs chapter 12, there's a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. For some reason or another, a lot of people think that, the way to go to heaven and get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is just to register. It's kind of like voting, being on a voter registration list. And when you stand before God, if your name is on the list, you're okay. Now, it's important that your name be on the list, but on the right list, the approved list. I wish I had mentioned this morning about the fact, and I talked about the call from God, that there are many who actually put God on a no-call list. They don't want God calling. Now, the 12 men of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was on that missionary journey, and he makes that trip up through Ephesus, and in the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, he found some folks who were disciples who actually thought their names were written in the book of life. Now, Paul speaks to those people, and he tells them that their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He asks them the question. He said, "If you receive the Holy Spirit since you were baptized," and they said, "We've not even heard the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about?" And the Bible says that they were again then immersed again for the right reason. They weren't immersed for the right reason the first time. They were baptized under John's baptism, but not under the baptism of Jesus Christ. And so anyway, Paul acknowledges here that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many are deceived into thinking that their names are written there. They believed and obeyed false doctrines like infant baptism, faith only, sprinkling, once saved, always saved, a lot of irrational concepts that were, I guess you could say, dredged up by men and not found in the Holy Scriptures. Many people have joined denominations thinking that would do it. I've heard people say, well, just join the church of your choice or just go out and affiliate yourself with a denomination of some kind. And if you just get into one of the denominations, when you stand before God, you're going to be on the approved list. Folks, that's not the way you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It may be a way to get your name on a church roll somewhere, but not in heaven. For in Matthew 15 and 13, "But Jesus answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Well, I've told you how you don't get it there. Now, let me tell you kind of quickly here how you get it there. One's name is written in the book of life when he becomes obedient to the gospel. You see, the Lord adds the saved to the church. You and I, when we are baptized and when we come into that committed relationship with God, God's the one that adds to his church. I tell people all the time, you can't join the church. You ever heard people say that, though? Join the church. Like it's just something you rush down and put your name on the list. Not so. Can't join the church. Now, that blows the minds of a lot of people. They say sometimes, "Well, I'd like to join your church." Well, I'd like for you to, but you can't do it. Because what happens is when we obey the gospel, God adds us to the church. You don't have to worry about putting your name on the list. God does that. When we obey the gospel, the Lord adds to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47, such as are being saved. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 again, the word of God says or refers to those whose names are written in the book of life. And those, according to John in Revelation 21, verse 27, those in God's new Jerusalem have their names written there as well. But then in Revelation he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that is heaven, "anything that defileth, neither whosoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie." Now listen here, here's the kicker. "But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." You enter the New Jerusalem by keeping the commandments of Christ. Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his will, and those who keep the commandments of Christ, that they may enter into the gates, into the city." The New Jerusalem is identified by the Hebrew writer again in Hebrews chapter 12. Your name is written in heaven when you obey the gospel and are added to the church by the Lord. Now, that's how you get it there. And I challenge anyone, and I've done it many, many times. I've been through debates and all kinds of religious discussions with folks, and have challenged them to show me in the Word of God how you get it there any other way. There just is no other way, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I may not know everything there is in the Holy Scripture, but I know what I'm talking about tonight. And I can tell you it is true. I'm not trying to be unkind or ugly by saying that, but what I am telling you is the way that you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life is becoming obedient to God. Now, he says here, very quickly, that a person's name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Think about it. Not having it there, and then getting it there by obeying the gospel, and then, thirdly, having it removed. How do you get it removed? Why would God take it out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Some teach that once you are saved, you will always be saved. There is no way that you could ever have that name removed. But that, again, if you go back and read what I read to you at the onset or the beginning of the lesson tonight, in Revelation chapter 20, he referred to those whose names were blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen to Revelation 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Don't have to worry about pink coats. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not, listen to this, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now that tells me that God does blot some out. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name. Isn't that what Jesus said he'd do in Matthew 10:32? I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Some things which will cause us to have our name blotted out are failing to overcome. That's what he says here in Revelation 3 and verse 5. But he that overcometh. Secondly, the love of money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not heady, nor high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Our trust must be in God. You want to get it removed? Thirdly, love the world. For 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and these things are not of the Father, but they of the world, he said. And by losing your first love. Seemed like Christ addressed a letter to the church. By the way, John was the penman here. He was the avenue that God used to address this letter to the early church. And he says, you are to repent because you have left your first love. That's what happened in Ephesus, wasn't it? And it can happen anywhere. The level of their love and their commitment that they had in the beginning had waned. You want to have your name taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Grow lukewarm. For Revelation 3 and verse 16 to the church again at Laodicea, John would write these words, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Get involved in the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And when people love the world more than they love God, I can tell you God will take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, to make sure that your name is written there, at the last day you must repent of your sins. That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? Pretty simple. Doesn't take a whole lot of intelligence to be able to figure that out if you really read the Bible. You know, what really astounds me sometimes is the intelligentsia of some folks and yet the ignorance that is so accompanied with their intellect. They read the Bible, but they start listening to men instead of listening to God. The importance of your name being written there is so very, very important. I want to go to heaven, and that's why I want it written there. The book of Revelation, those whose names were not written there were plagued, according to Revelation 13 and verse 8, and they were cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and verse 15. would be a horrible thought, and I can tell you this most assuredly, for one to have become a Christian and then left his first love and died in an unloving state with regard to God. I hope and I charge, and I do this sincerely, lovingly tonight, admonish all of you to stay close to God. We all have a tendency sometimes to stray away from the one that we claim to love, the Lord. And so let me challenge you this week to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And don't let anything deter you from doing the will of God. To make sure, as I said this morning, that He is priority number one on your agenda list. I've already been making an agenda for tomorrow. Things I've got to do, and I do that quite often so I don't forget. And so I start writing those things down. And you know what? I'm telling you, He's always priority with me. And I hope He is with you. I hope He is with you tonight to the point that you'll obey His gospel if you're not a Christian. That you'd like to be a saint. I'm glad to be a saint. Someone looks at me and says, "Who do you think you are, a saint?" And I say, "You got it." Now, they may not like that. But I am. And you are. And thank God we can be. When we yield ourselves in New Testament baptism to be born again into the family of God, we become saints. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. We become children of God. We become Christians, disciples of the Lord. And you can be one tonight while we stand and while we sing.